crucifixion of Jesus. We'll be looking at what influenced them to resist the message of who Jesus was and what he could do for them, and ultimately for them to play a part in Jesus' death. The first person that we're going to look at is Caiaphas. Caiaphas served as the Jewish high priest at the time of Jesus. Now, he was a member of the religious group called the Sadducees. So if you read through the Gospels and you see the different religious groups and religious leaders in the Gospels, the Sadducees, he was part of that group. And that group and the Pharisees and other religious groups made up a group called the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin functioned kind of as the moral, religious, supreme court of their day. And the Sanhedrin was a really important group of people that helped regulate the things that were going on in the community. The Romans allowed the Jews to have this group because they didn't want to have to deal with any of the Jewish religious laws. And so they kind of tolerated this religious group and expected them to maintain the peace in the community in Jerusalem and in all of Israel in order to maintain their religion. Now, if you remember, the position of high priest was instituted and ordained by God in the Old Testament when they were at Mount Sinai. The position of high priest was the highest of religious positions and served as the ultimate mediator between God and his people. It was his job to help the people to connect with God. It was the high priest's job to mediate God's instruction to the people and to help direct them to have a deep relationship with their God. Among other religious duties, it was the job of the high priest to lead the Passover celebration. It was the high priest who was the only one who had access into the Holy of Holies, where he could actually be in the presence of God once a year to atone for the sins of the people. It was the high priest who kind of led the Passover celebration in making that sacrifice that would atone for the sins of the people. Now, the position of high priest had to be filled. God said, I want you to take and make the high priest from the tribe of Levi, from the family of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses. And since the high priest had to come from a certain tribe or family, the job really didn't go to the most qualified person. It was more like it was handed down and kept in the family. And in the time of Jesus, Caiaphas became the high priest after his father-in-law, Annas. Annas had four other sons who also served as priests. And this group of high priests, this group of priests in the family, it actually became kind of like a dynasty. And so for Caiaphas being the high priest position had been in their immediate family for over 40 years. And being the high priest and the family of the high priest had incredible advantages. They were incredibly wealthy. Why? Because they were the ones that controlled the temple tax. All the people that had to come in to celebrate the Passover had to pay a tax. And a portion of that tax obviously went to support the priests, right? In the Old Testament, God said, hey, make sure that this family of priests from Aaron would always be provided for by you. And so here they are in this situation, and they have this temple tax, and part of that tax goes to support the high priest and their family. And so they regulated and controlled the amount of money that came in, and of course, they lined their pockets with all of the money. They were incredibly wealthy. And since they were wealthy, they became very educated. They had access to the best education. The problem at this point in history was that this position of high priest became more of a political position than a religious one. It became more of a family dynasty than a divinely appointed position to help people know and follow God. Caiaphas, then, if you can imagine, was in the biggest, highest, most prestigious, powerful political position in all of Israel. He was the leader of an elite group that was on good terms with Rome, who ruled over Israel. Everything that Caiaphas wanted, he had. Life was good. That is, until this rabbi named Jesus came along. His teaching and miracles caught the attention of many people. So much so that it began to cause attention among the religious leaders and a commotion among the people. See, the commotion made the religious leaders nervous because Rome had allowed them to keep and follow their religious rules as long as it didn't conflict or begin to overtake the Roman rule in their community. As long as things were peaceful, Caiaphas and his family were in a great position to continue their dynasty. But Jesus was a threat to the religious and political system. And the crowds of people were drawn to him. This is why we see so much confrontation between Jesus and the religious leaders of that day. They were trying to discredit Jesus. In all of the questions that they asked Jesus in public, they were trying to trip him up and discredit him so that the people would ignore him and quit following him. And yet the more that they did that, the more the people were able to see that Jesus was something different, that he taught with authority, that Jesus was a person who not only did incredible miracles, but that he actually knew what he talked about and he related with the people. He challenged the authenticity of the faith of the religious leaders and even sternly warned them that they would be judged someday. There was great political and religious tension among them. And it all started to boil over when Jesus did one big, incredible miracle. See, Jesus was friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And if you remember, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they lived in Bethany. And whenever Jesus was in Bethany, he would stay at their house. And they would take care of him. They would feed him, give him a place to rest, give him a break from ministry. And so they became like family to Jesus. He knew them well. And once when Jesus was out doing ministry and healing and teaching the people, Mary and Martha sent message to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, your friend, your brother, Lazarus is sick." In other words, "Jesus, we know that you can heal him. Come back and help us out." But the Bible says in John 11 that Jesus stayed where he was for a few more days and did ministry until he had heard that Lazarus had passed away. And so he tells the disciples, "Okay, it's time now to go and to see Lazarus." And they're confused. They're like, "Jesus, it's done. It's over." And by the time he gets there, the people, Mary and Martha and all the people, are weeping and crying. And Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus says to them, "Show me where he's at." And Mary and Martha go, "No, Jesus, you don't understand. He's been gone for 4 days. He's been gone for 4 days." And Jesus weeps with them because he loves them and he cares about them. And then he goes and raises Lazarus from the dead. And it sparks an incredible revolution. So everything that the religious leaders were trying to do all of a sudden blows up in their face. And Jesus does this one incredible miracle. The funny thing about it is the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. And here Jesus raises Lazarus, and all of a sudden all of the people are drawn to this thing. And it has an amazing amount of revolution happening in and among the people. Let's look and follow what happens next in John 11. Verses 45 to 54. This is what John says. He says, "Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen, when they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Many people who were with them believed in Jesus." But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council, the Sanhedrin, to meet together. "What are we going to do?" they asked each other. "This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation." And here it is. Here he is. Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for our whole nation to be destroyed." He didn't even say this on his own. As high priest at that time, he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. And not only for that nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. So from that time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. As a result, Jesus stopped his public ministry among the people and left Jerusalem. He went to a place near the wilderness, to the village of Ephraim, and he stayed there with his disciples. Later on, Jesus goes back to Bethany, and we read a few verses later in John 12, verses 9 through 11, that when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, and also to see Lazarus, the man that Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decide to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Doesn't it seem crazy that as we read this story, we look at the religious leaders and we wonder how in the world they could see all of this stuff going on and seeing the incredible miracles that Jesus was doing and not believe that there was something special about him? They even admitted it. John says that they saw the miracles that Jesus was doing and admitted that he was something different or something special. And yet it seems crazy that they wouldn't recognize Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. They knew the Old Testament well. They were experts in the law and the prophets. They knew what the Bible said about the coming Messiah. They could hear Jesus' love and redemption in his message. They could watch his miracles. They could see that the blind were receiving their sight. The lame were walking, and those with leprosy were healed. And most importantly, they could see Lazarus, that Jesus had actually raised someone from the dead. How could Caiaphas have all of this evidence right in front of him and still reject Jesus as the Messiah, his Savior? It's obvious to us. And we can even, when we read it, get kind of frustrated and confused that he would reject Jesus. And we see the foolishness in it. And yet, in all reality, there's a little Caiaphas in all of us. That we too have the opportunity, that we have access to see this Jesus. No, we can't reach out and physically touch him. But the Bible says that creation is evidence that God has revealed himself to us. And we have access to God's Word that teaches us that Jesus is real and that he's alive, that he was God in the flesh, that he came and dwelt among us and sacrificed his life on the cross, and that he rose again to provide us with life. We have his Holy Spirit that now comes and dwells within us to teach us and reveal himself to us. We have access and every opportunity to see and to know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is real, that Jesus can be our Savior and our Lord. And yet, the things in our life that we love so much can cause us to resist knowing Jesus and going deeper into our relationship with him. There's times in our life when we too ignore and resist and reject the God that we say we trust and follow. So let's take a closer look at Caiaphas and what led to his resistance. If you're following along on the outline, the first one is that Caiaphas failed to recognize Jesus because his faith was about ritual instead of relationship. It was about ritual instead of relationship. Think about this for a minute. As the high priest, Caiaphas had complete and direct access to God. He was one of the only ones that actually could go and read the Word of God as it was given to them. He was the only one who had access to the Holy of Holies where he could meet with God. He had every opportunity to know God personally. God was available for him to interact with, and yet he chose to go through the motions. John shares that the religious leaders were trying to kill Lazarus after Jesus raised him from the dead because he was living proof that Jesus' miracle was true. It was because of him that many people had deserted them to follow Jesus. Along with deserting the religious leaders, other versions, if you read other versions of the Bible, it says that they were actually not only deserting the religious leaders, they were deserting the Jewish traditions. They had given up on following the Jewish traditions, trying to do the right things in order to look and feel spiritual, in order to be accepted by God. Left that behind to follow Jesus, because Jesus showed them that he could be related to personally and that he loved and cared for them. He was someone that they were able to follow and they could give their life to him and he would provide new life for them. Caiaphas and the religious leaders were too stuck on following rituals and religion. They relied on keeping the law in order to be righteous, and in doing so, they put their faith in themselves rather than Jesus. What about us? We have complete access to God. God reveals himself to us through the Word and through his Spirit. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have direct access to God and his Spirit dwells within us. But if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap that Caiaphas and the religious leaders fell in. That our faith becomes a ritual or a routine. If we're not careful, it can be just something simple that we do to try to get credit from God. If I go to church and I check the box, that God will see me as a good person. If I read my Bible on a regular basis and I pray, if I'm doing that to just check off the box, then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. See, God wants us to have a relationship with him. We can't get caught up in just going through the motions of trying to do the right thing to earn our good standing with God. A lot of times I'll ask people about their faith, and almost immediately the response that I get is, well, I'm Catholic, or I'm Lutheran, or I'm Reformed. In other words, what they're saying is I have church background, I'm good, I've got a membership somewhere, I was baptized as a child or even baptized as an adult, so check it off the box, I'm good with God. And if we're not careful, we can rely on all of those things for our eternal life instead of a relationship with Jesus. Instead of realizing that what Jesus did for us on the cross provides us with forgiveness. And it's through his death on the cross and through his resurrection that he gives us the gift of his righteousness so that we can meet God's holy standard. And that's how we have life. And when we believe in that, we have this relationship with Jesus and he begins to transform our lives so that we can live our lives for him and not be so concerned about checking off the boxes, but living a life of obedience because we love Jesus for who he is. If we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap that Caiaphas did. We have to know the gospel. We have to know and relate with who Jesus is and remember what he's done for us and want to live a life of obedience out of our relationship with Him. Be careful that your faith doesn't fall into ritual. Do everything that you can to recognize God as a personal God who created you, who loves you, who loved you enough to die for you so that you could live in community and a relationship with Him. Secondly, Caiaphas failed to recognize Jesus because his faith was blinded by his own selfishness. He was blinded by his own selfishness. As they met together, John records their words. He says, "This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. But if we allow him to go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then this is what will happen. And then the Roman army will come in and destroy our temple and destroy our nation." Do they see something special in Jesus? Their hearts know that there's something incredible about him, and yet they resist him. Why? Because to believe and to follow him would mean that they would have to let go of what they already have. You see, if they would believe in Jesus, it might mean that they would lose their temple. It might mean that they would lose their nation. And for Caiaphas and the religious leaders, it would mean that they would lose their power. They would lose their prestige. They would lose their position. They would lose everything that they have. How could they do that? Those were important things to them. More important than putting their faith and trust in Jesus and following Him. They allowed their power, their prestige, their position to blind them to who Jesus was and what it meant to follow Him. They were much rather hang on to and cling to the things that they had than to follow Jesus. They knew the truth about Jesus and they weren't willing to let go of those things that were more important to them. In other words, the cost of following Jesus was too high. They weren't willing to do it. So they said, if we don't do something, we're going to lose everything. If we don't do something about this Jesus, we're going to lose everything that's important to us. So they were selfish, and it kept them from recognizing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What Caiaphas had was so precious to him that it became more important than trusting and following Jesus. So the question is there for all of us. What has become more important in our lives than Jesus? What's the one or two things that we're not willing to give up? What are the one or two things that we're not willing to sacrifice to go deeper into our relationship with Jesus? What are the things in our life that have become more important to us than our faith? What are the things that we try to preserve instead of proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life? We all live in that tension. I live in that tension. I have things that I face each and every day that try to pull me away from God, things that become more important to me than my relationship with Jesus. It's good for us to sit down and reflect and think about the things in our life that are becoming more important to us than Jesus. How are we being selfish? And how are those things blinding us to our relationship with Jesus? What are the things that we know we're not willing to give up? We're not willing to pay the price? Because it will cost us too much to give that up to follow Jesus. And we're not really sure we want to do that. Sometimes the things that we have become so precious to us, we'll do anything we can to preserve them, even at the cost of our faith and relationship with Jesus. Caiaphas made something else more important than knowing Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Caiaphas thought that he was in total control of his life and his own destiny. He thought that eliminating Jesus would preserve his powerful position. He even claimed that it would be good for one man to die in order to preserve what they had. It would be better for Jesus to die for the people than to lose their whole nation. If you think about it, that's often another thing that blinds us to our own selfishness. We think that we are in control of every aspect of our lives. were not. Caiaphas thought that he could control Jesus for his own benefit. When I look at my life, there are times when I have to be honest and realize that I try to control Jesus. I try to make Jesus fit into my own little world, and I try to challenge Jesus to do specific things because it would benefit me. I'm blinded by my own selfishness, and I don't even really see or know Jesus. I'm not willing to give up total control of my life and surrender it to Jesus. Caiaphas tried to do that. And Jesus, in a chapter prior to this, told everyone in John 10, verse 18, "No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again." Jesus was talking about the resurrection, and that Caiaphas doesn't have any control over his life. Even though he thinks that he's going to win and kill Jesus, he doesn't. Because Jesus raises himself back to life again. Caiaphas had no idea that he was actually making a prophecy for Jesus. And later, after the resurrection, Caiaphas was still trying to preserve his power and position. But he couldn't stop the gospel from spreading through the disciples. We see his interaction with Peter and Paul and or Peter and James as they enter the temple and they heal the crippled man. And he couldn't do anything to stop it. And later on, eventually in 70 AD, he loses his position as high priest. The temple is destroyed. And Caiaphas becomes a simple footnote in history. And we look at that account and we just shake our heads and say, "Caiaphas, how could you be so foolish? How could you not know?" Not only because he failed to trust and follow Jesus, because in the end he lost everything that he worked so hard to preserve. You see, we have to realize that there's a little Caiaphas in all of us. That we try to preserve these sinful things in our lives that are important to us at the time. And we do everything that we can to cling to those things and not give them up because we understand that it has a cost. So what is it in your life that you're not willing to give up to follow Jesus with your whole life? What is it in this world that you're clinging to? What are you trying to do in your faith and have Jesus and this in your life? What is it that has control or its grip on your life? What are you struggling to let go of? What is blinding you and keeping you selfish that you need to get rid of? Because whatever is at the center of your life is what you have surrendered to. And it has more control over you than you want to admit. And if that's the case, in all reality, that thing has become your God. That thing has become your idol. And in a sense, then you have made yourself God instead of Jesus. You see, when we decide to follow Jesus, it will cost us something. We cannot serve two gods. Jesus won't allow it. He wants to be the sole desire of our heart. And the problem with investing in other gods, little g, rather than the one true God, is that those gods with the little g are always temporary. You see, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the things that we invest in this world that we think will bring us joy and happiness always disappoint us. And they always disappear because they're temporary. And this is the thing. As we look at the life of Caiaphas, we look at it and we go, how could you be so foolish to invest in this temporary thing when you could have eternal life in Christ? And yet we do the same thing all the time. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 36. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Because if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul. Isn't that what Caiaphas did? Tried to gain the whole world. And in the process, he ended up forfeiting his own soul. And we look at him and we go, man, you're such a fool. And yet we do the same thing all the time. What are the things in your life that have become so important to you that they distract you from your relationship with God? What are the things that are constantly pulling you away from a deeper relationship with Christ? We need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying here. See, while saying yes to God may cost you something you really value, saying no to Jesus will always cost you more, including whatever it is that you're put in the place of God in your life right now. You have a choice. Are you going to try to preserve those things that you think are important? Are you going to proclaim that you are willing to give them up to trust and follow Jesus? Caiaphas had a choice. Was he going to try and preserve what he had? Was he going to hang on to his own life, or was he going to give it up and proclaim Jesus for who he was? That's the choice that we have today. Are we going to try to preserve the things we value, the things we feel are important, or are we going to really give them up and surrender all of our lives to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior? What is it that's at the center of your life right now? What is it that you're trying to protect and preserve? What is it that has become your God with a little g? It's foolish. We look at the life and the actions of Caiaphas, and it's so obvious. And we look at our lives, and it's not so obvious. So we need to make sure that we take time out to evaluate our lives and see where we're at in our relationship with God. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is it in my life that I have made more important than you? And how can I give it up? Stop trying to gain the whole world, because you'll just end up forfeiting your soul. Surrender your life to Jesus. Give up whatever it is that's more important to you than Jesus, and begin to trust and follow Him in every area of your life. Let's pray together. Lord, that sounds so easy to do, and yet it's so hard. We are so drawn to the things of this world, and we rely on them in ways that we think they'll make us joyful and happy, and yet they're only temporary. Lord, I just pray that you would pour your Spirit out on all of us and help us to have a desire to be content and to want you and you alone in our life. That you would help us to make you the number one priority over all things in this world. By your Spirit, help us to identify the idols and the little gods that we have that we've made more important to you. Help us to repent of those things and to reject them and to turn to you and to allow you to help grow us and transform us and to help us follow you with our whole life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.